Welcome to A Fork in Time, the alternate history podcast.
Welcome back to A Fork in Time, the alternate history podcast. Don sitting in the host chair today and thanking you for giving us just a little bit of your time and joining us for today's episode. As we talk about from time to time on here on the podcast on A Fork in Time, we like to explore things that are a little less serious when it comes to the idea of alternate history. So often what we are focused on are wars and assassinations and the big sweep of history that often deals with the types of things that they're not whimsical, to say the least. They're very sobering. Sometimes they can be somewhat depressing. And so every once in a while what we'd like to throw in here on the show is what I like to think of as an episode that expresses some whimsy, maybe focuses around something that is less serious. And I hope today's show may be the ultimate expression of whimsy here on A Fork in Time. Today here on A Fork in Time, we're going to imagine what would have happened if there had not been a fictional character by the name of Tommy Westfall. And for those of you that are familiar with what we're going to be covering today, we're going to be talking about the Tommy Westfall universe, the Tommy Westfall multiverse. And as we get into the topic a little bit, you'll see that it is a what if, it's an alternate history type of approach in the sense of what would be if things weren't connected the way they are, in the way that some people approach this sort of hypothesis or this theory, which is often referred to again as the Tommy Westfall universe. But we'll go through it. It'll be a little bit different. I'm not sure if it has the traditional fork, except to say, what if this is not the way that a particular television series popular in the United States during the 1980s had not ended this way? So today on A Fork in Time, we're going to look at the what if of what if there had been no Tommy Westfall. As we often do on A Fork in Time, it's necessary to look at the historical what it did before we can actually explore the historical what if. The premise of today's episode, today's show being a little bit different, the what did will actually still be centering around something that is fictional, I guess unless you're an ardent believer of the Tommy Westfall universe hypothesis. And so that has us going back to 1982 and American television. At that time, in the fall of 1982 on the NBC network, the television series Saint Elsewhere premiered. Saint Elsewhere was an American medical drama series that ran for 6 seasons. It was set at the fictional Saint Eligius Hospital, which was a teaching hospital in a decaying neighborhood in Boston. And in fact, if you look back at the series itself, a number of actors and actresses of some note actually appeared in the series, among them, for example, being Denzel Washington in an early role, and others that many would recognize from a number of different character roles that were played. In fact, the 3 primary physicians, surgeons that were the main characters in the series were played by Ed Flanders, Norman Lloyd, and William Daniels. And so the series was set, again, in a hospital setting, a typical hospital drama. Some people may have called it a dramedy, had elements of comedy to it. In fact, one of the characters on the series was actually a comedian, or had been primarily known as a comedian, Howie Mandel. But that was where he showed some of his acting chops. And so again, the premise of the show was this teaching hospital, but one of the characters that existed on the show was that of Tommy Westfall. Tommy was the son of one of the primary characters. He was portrayed by actor Chad Allen. And he was the son of Dr. Westfall, his father, who was one of the older sort of patron physicians there at the hospital, certainly in a teaching environment, was one of the well-known doctors that was there. It was a feature in the series. And Tommy's character, his son, was autistic. And so where all of this comes together is that in the very last episode of the series, so this would have been the episode that aired in May of 1988, an episode that's entitled The Last One. We will particularly focus on the last 2 scenes of that very last episode. So these are the last 2 scenes of the entire series. And in those scenes, we have Dr. Donald Westfall, who is Tommy's father, having just returned. This is the scene before the penultimate scene, the scene before the very last scene. He's just returned to St. Eligius. He's pondering in his colleague, Dr. Oschlander's office, who's recently died from a stroke. And Oschlander had been Dr. Westfall's mentor. He's pondering just the consequences of his recent death. And we see him listening to an opera piece, and we see him looking out the window and seeing the snow falling through the window across the Boston landscape. That cuts to the scene that's actually now back in the apartment, where we actually find Tommy Westfall sitting in the apartment building along with his grandfather, who is, interestingly enough, now played by the same actor who played the recently deceased Dr. Oschlander. And we see Tommy is holding a snow globe. And so the cut that happens is from the snow falling outside the window to the idea of the snow globe that's in Tommy's hand. And so now we see the same actor who had portrayed Dr. Westfall, Tommy's father, come into the apartment. And the dialogue, I'm going to read it here from actually looking at the Wikipedia entry, goes something like this. Oschlander says, "Hi, Pop, how you doing?" I'm sorry, not Oschlander, but Dr. Westfall says, "Hi, Pop, how are you doing?" The grandfather says, "Good, how was your day up in the building?" And he responds like, "Well, we finally topped the 22nd story and I'm beat. How's it been?" Looking towards Tommy, "Did he give you any trouble?" And the grandfather responds by saying, "He's been sitting there ever since you left this morning, just like he does every day in a world of his own." And then Westfall comes over to his son, says, "I don't understand this autism thing, Pop. Here's my son. I talked to him. I don't even know if he can hear me. He sits there all day long in his own world, staring at that toy. What is he thinking about?" The toy that he's referring to is a snow globe, which seems to have inside the image of it the exterior of what we have come to know as being St. Eligius. And by the very nature of what Westfall says as he comes into the apartment, we're left with the impression that he's not a doctor anymore, that he's someone who does work with construction. And so the concept or the premise here is that everything that's gone on at the hospital, represented by what's seen inside of the snow globe, is actually sprung from the imagination of his autistic son. And so that immediately puts into question, of course, it's the last scene of the last season of the end of the series, puts into question whether any of this has been real and whether this has all just been sprung from the mind of Tommy Westfall. So that sets the setting for, was St. Elsewhere all just the vision of an autistic boy looking at a snow globe, and that what we've actually been witnessing is not just a fictional medical drama, but we've witnessing something that is just contained in the mind of this one particular person in the form of Tommy Westfall. Now, you might argue that is either interesting or not interesting in and of itself as a fictional storytelling device, and again, sort of this twist at the very end of the series putting some question in the viewer's mind about what they've been watching for the last six seasons. That would be interesting enough, except that a very common phenomenon throughout all of television history, but particularly being prominent and notable in the 1980s and the period thereafter, is the idea of the crossover. And of course, in the crossover, it's where a character on one particular show appears on another show as that character. And so the same actor portraying the same character appears in a different TV series. Sometimes these are very intentional, sometimes very frequent in the form of just a spinoff. So a character on one series spins off to a new series as a lead character, as another character on that series. And so there's no doubt that those two television series are in the same, if you will, in the same universe, because the same characters reside in both. This is a common thing throughout history. You can certainly go back to the spinoffs of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, or the various other spinoffs that have existed throughout history, or shows that were created by the same creator that sometimes shared a cast. For me, growing up in the United States, a fixture of UHF television, many afternoons, and syndicated rerun were the shows Petticoat Junction and Green Acres, that were both produced by the same producer, and were set very near each other, such that there was almost a constant a set of crossovers or appearances by characters from one show on the other, such that while they were two separate shows, you had no doubt whatsoever that they were residing in the same universe. It was certainly not uncommon, and NBC, who was the network that aired St. Elsewhere, frequently did a number of crossovers, particularly during the time that Saint Elsewhere aired. And so I'm going to give you an example today of how this has come to be known as the Tommy Westfall universe. And it's done through extension, sort of a transitive property that happens. So if Saint Elsewhere is all the imagination of Tommy Westfall, then any other appearance of a Saint Elsewhere character, because of the very fact that they come from his imagination, must also be sprung from his mind. And so anything that happens on that show, if that character has been on that show, means that that show also must, by definition, be something that has been imagined by Tommy Westfall. So you can see, using the most direct and probably the most easily recognizable way that this transitive transference happens, is that a Saint Elsewhere character appears on another show clearly as that character. So there's no doubt that we're talking about that character, and no doubt that it's the same character, not a similar character, not the same actor playing maybe an unnamed character that also seems similar. That's happened throughout television history as well, because of copyrights or other situations. But this is the clear crossover. And so if you start following the clear crossover down, use this transitive property, any show that was crossed over to, by definition, must also be from the imagination of Tommy Westfall. The term that's used by those who are purveyors of this interesting concept, either fictionally or how they look at it, they'll often refer to another show outside of Saint Elsewhere that's connected in this way as a figment. It's a figment of the imagination of Tommy Westfall. And so in the show notes, I'll include several links. There's a gridded version showing the relationship here. There's a textual version that shows the relationship. And so you can see how this has been played out to something on the order now, and the list is always growing, and someone is always making an argument for why another show might ought to be included as a figment that spins off from a figment or directly from Saint Elsewhere, one of its major crossovers, which happens to be Homicide: Life on the Streets. You'll see that this thing can go out to levels and levels and levels. It's like ripples through a pond. And again, even if you just focus on the most obvious connectors, these would be characters, not the other things that'll be there. Although, for example, sometimes props or brands are also included in this because it's, again, in the same universe. You'll discover that this can just go on and on and on. Again, to over 400 shows that have been documented, and arguments probably can be made for several hundred more. So one example of that was at the same time in the 1980s on the NBC network, in addition to Saint Elsewhere, they had another very popular television series that was also set in Boston, Massachusetts, in the United States. That was the comedy series Cheers. And so one of the easy-to-spot crossovers would be where the doctors, Westfall, Craig, and Auschlander, from Saint Elsewhere, happen to wander in and visit the bar where Cheers is set. And so as a result of that, Saint Elsewhere and Cheers are connected. Again, by the transitive property, the Tommy Westfall universe, that means that now everything connected to Cheers is what? It's a figment of Tommy's imagination. And so Cheers now becomes part of the Tommy Westfall universe. Well, of course, Cheers, very popular sitcom that ran for a number of years, actually had a number of spinoffs. One of them also being a very popular award-winning spinoff, that would be the show Frasier. Frasier Crane, Dr. Frasier Crane, a character on Cheers, is spun off to his own show. And so now, because of, again, the transitive property of the Tommy Westfall universe, Saint Elsewhere has translated to Cheers, Cheers has translated to Frasier, among other shows, and you can see how this just goes on and on and on. Now, suddenly you have any situation where perhaps a character on Cheers now makes reference to another television show. This is where it gets a little trickier. You may make the argument that that particular television show is also a figment of Tommy's imagination. Of course, you could also argue that just because it's referenced doesn't mean that it's part of the universe. And so that's where you'll see people talk about the different sort of degrees of separation and the types of separation that exist between these types of things that are the core, Saint Elsewhere, and eventually the things that are considered figments of that. But this can expand out to be pretty wild when you start looking at mentions, or for example, in the case of a plot device, or particularly something like a prop that may exist. So let me carry along with that idea of how that might work, again, using Saint Elsewhere connecting to Cheers. Cheers connects to Frasier. Frasier, one of the things that it featured were characters that would call in as guests, or call in as callers, rather, to his radio show. And so sometimes these were not just recognizable voices, but they were clearly intended to be the characters that had appeared on other shows. So one example of that is the John Hemingway, who was from the character that John Larroquette played on the John Larroquette show, calls into Frasier's show. Frasier's show, while he's doing that, he makes a reference to the company, or on the John Larroquette show, there's a reference to the company Yo-Yo Dine, a fictional company. Not uncommon for a lot of the same fictional companies to appear throughout a number of different series. It's a way to avoid copyright infringements, but also and trademark infringements and legal suits, but also at the same time sort of create some continuity about who that is. So Yo-Yo Dine is a client of on the television show Angel of the firm that appears in there, Wolfram and Hart. Angel's a spinoff of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Eventually what you end up is that that leads to Yo-Yo Dine being referenced, tying back to the science fiction series Firefly. And in Firefly, you see them visit what essentially amounts to a junkyard, a spaceship junkyard, where you actually see ships that come from the original Battlestar Galactica series. So going 5, 6, 7, 8 levels deep, you can argue that Battlestar Galactica is somehow connected to St. Elsewhere, and if it's connected to St. Elsewhere, it becomes part of the Tommy Westfall universe, or is it sometimes referred to as the Tommy Westfall multiverse. The reason I use the term multiverse, this is not an uncommon thing that relates to cartoon characters. You can talk about comic characters here, in the sense of when they cross over between various elements. So, for example, for the last decade plus, a very popular film franchise, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, has featured a number of these various crossovers in such a way that you have characters that were never connected directly that are connected indirectly. So the same concept that exists inside of places like the Marvel and the DC comic universes are now being applied back to this idea of the Tommy Westfall universe. When you look at the charts, the graphs, depending on how you would access this information, I strongly encourage that you do that. It's one of those things that's difficult to describe. It's a little bit easier to visualize, and when you start visualizing, you'll see what it's about. One of the primary crossovers actually exists between St. Elsewhere, again, sort of the core series that's part of this concept, and a series called Homicide: Life on the Street. In that particular case, two of the characters from St. Elsewhere, one played by Alfre Woodard, that's Dr. Roxanne Turner, another played by Ed Begley Jr., Dr. Victor Ehrlich, they appeared on an episode of Homicide: Life in the Streets. And as a result, there's that direct crossover, the one that's hard to argue against, which connects the two things together. And then by extending the concept, the transitive extension, that means that Homicide: Life on the Street is the imagination of Tommy Westfall. One of the characters on Homicide: Life on the Street, played by American actor Richard Belzer, is John Munch. John plays a detective, and he's one of the more prolific ways that things spread, sort of contaminating the rest of fictional television as a result of his activity, in the sense that he is he's questioned on an episode of The X-Files. He is seen smoking Morley cigarettes. And let me now talk a little bit about the use of products here to connect things together. Morley cigarettes are featured on a number of different shows. In fact, they're one of those fictional brands, sort of looking to mimic Marlboro in terms of the package design, but again, not creating a trademark or a copyright infringement in doing so. And so you have the situation here where any character on any show who must be smoking a Morley cigarette, if they are connected back to something that derives from St. Elsewhere, then by some of the people that want to carry this to the most absurd, it's already absurd to begin with, but the most absurd extension would say that that's the case for them. And so you'll have shows like 24, you'll have shows like American Horror Story, Breaking Bad, just a number of different shows where this has been used as the fictional cigarette brand that some would argue actually carries and extends this whole concept of the fictional universe. You know, from my take on this, of course, this is all just fun and games, so if you want to carry it that far, you're welcome to do so. I actually prefer to stay inside for the purposes of thinking about what the implications of this is in a fictional sense, to where there's just been a character that's a crossover and not a product. And the concept there actually challenges one of the things I want to just talk about briefly, which is what sort of the objections to the hypothesis? Well, one would be if something happens in real life and that real life things appears in fiction, that does not mean that real life is fiction. And so, again, this concept, while the Morley's cigarette is a fictional product, the fact that it appears in shows in and of itself as a product does not mean that show is fictional, that just the product itself is fictional. The more common way to describe it is, for example, if a sporting event is referenced during a show that's a real sporting event, and that show is somehow connected now back to the Tommy Westfall multiverse, it somehow makes its way back through 6 degrees of television separation back to St. Elsewhere. Does that mean that the fictional sporting event is all part of Tommy Westfall's imagination? And I think that's where the concept, which is sort of by its very nature an absurd concept, and the idea of just applying something, reducio to the absurdium in practice, that's where you're carrying it a bit too far. In fact, that's one of the objections that's raised by a number of the critics, is that while it's a fun thing to do, and you can certainly carry this, when you start getting into the extremes of, oh, there's a prop that someone, perhaps a writer, intentionally placed in the background of a scene, you're now sort of contaminating the core concept of the theory. One thing can be argued, you can get far enough carrying the theory of the universe without needing to sort of resort to, oh, there's a prop that I saw for 2 seconds in the back, sort of like the spaceship prop reference that I made earlier that somehow magically connects Battlestar Galactica to St. Elsewhere. But still, there are those who would argue that that's, if you're going to do this exercise and going to do it in a fun way, why not carry it to the extreme? So much so that at least in one case, there's one particular writer that suggested, if you really do the math and really play it out, something like 90% of television through some way, shape, form, or fashion could actually be connected back to this concept. In fact, when it was first proposed, the interesting thing to think about here was actually proposed by Dwayne McDuffie. So let me give Dwayne, who is a comic book writer, credit for that. He was actually using it to show about the care that needs to be taken about allowing these fictional characters to cross over. Just because of, even though you're dealing with fiction, it sort of strains the credibility, perhaps a number of things, if you have too many crossovers just for the sake of crossovers. And while that may be okay from one comedy series to another, or in the case of St. Elsewhere, for example, his appearance on Cheers, a drama series, although it had elements of comedy, St. Elsewhere did, over to a comedy series, that might not be as important. But the whole concept being expressed there by the person who noticed this, by Dwayne McDuffie, was this idea that writers need to be careful about not going to sort of that old trope as often as they do in order to avoid things that actually create continuity issues or just create some absurd situations that can be avoided if you didn't do so. So hopefully I've done an adequate job of explaining the concept behind the Tommy Westfall universe. Certainly I'll include the links that I've mentioned in the show notes. So that sort of brings us to the historical what if. What if there had been no Tommy Westfall? Well, the way that you would argue that is any show that you enjoyed on television that is somehow connected to the universe didn't exist. And so the concept of this approach to thinking about things, this 6 degrees of separation translated over into the idea of shows being the connectors instead of people, is that, again, something as at least one writer has suggested, something like 90% of all shows can be connected in some way. And so the historical what if, brought on by a writer's choice, perhaps just to be clever, perhaps just to do something unique at the end of an American hospital drama series that ran for 6 seasons. Two very short scenes have this tremendous impact on one way that you might look at all that is the fictional television world in a lot of ways. And so, with no Tommy Westfall, without a Tommy Westfall, is there a Cheers? Without a Tommy Westfall, is there a Frasier? If there is no Frasier, etc., there isn't these other types of things that I referenced there. And ultimately, there might not even be Battlestar Galactica or all the other things that flow from that. So the implications of no Tommy Westfall are tremendous, and they go backward and forward in time. And so I guess the way that I would conclude things is, if you want to hold and subscribe to the hypothesis, even as sort of an absurdity, it's a very good thing that Tommy Westfall existed, because without a Tommy Westfall, nothing that we know on television might have existed. Again, hope you've enjoyed today's show. Wanted to do something just a little bit different to expose us to just this concept. And I'd love to hear your feedback on whether you enjoy this type of show mixed in with our regular, if you will, hard-hitting historical what-ifs. As I'm thinking about through the logical airing of these shows, I think this particular episode will follow an episode that features on what would have happened if Carthage had supplanted Rome. I can't hardly think in my mind of two things that are further apart than perhaps these two concepts, an important concept like a Western world or a world that has no Roman Empire compared to a world that has no Tommy Westfall and no St. Elsevier and all the television that we know. So again, thanks for joining us today here on A Fork in Time. We would invite you to visit our website. That's www.aforkintimepodcast.com. And there you can provide feedback. If you hated today's show and want us to stick to regular history, that's the place you would go and tell us that. If you enjoyed it or have some other thoughts for the types of whimsical things we can do every once in a while, that's the place you would go and give us those suggestions. And certainly you can find our entire back catalog there of all the episodes of A Fork in Time available for free. You can also see the other ways that you can help with the show, easy ways to spread news about the show on social media, etc. If you enjoy the show and you are capable of doing so, we would certainly invite you to visit our Patreon link that exists there. There you can go and pledge a small amount of financial support to the show, either on a one-time or recurring basis. Helps us defer the costs, just helps us to make sure that we're able to continue to provide A Fork in Time, and just allows us to upgrade with hardware and equipment and the other things that make the podcast better. But most importantly, the way that you can support us is by giving us your time, and you've done that today, and I thank you for that. So as I sign off for this episode of A Fork in Time, we invite you back next time and look forward to hearing from you then. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to A Fork in Time, the alternate history podcast. Learn more about the podcast at www.aforkintimepodcast.com. Join us next time.